What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to episode 238 of the Massive Breakdown Podcast. We have a fantastic episode for you tonight. We're going to be talking about the World Weapons, which we put off for 2 weeks, and we were actually thinking we might have to put it off for a third week, as this is the week of Thanksgiving, and there was the potential that some more news was going to drop, but then lo and behold, we moved the podcast up to Tuesday night, following hot on the heels of Firing Range. We actually had a Firing Range special earlier today. We had an hour with Kevin Yanez and Eric Smith, who are the ability sandbox designers from Bungie. So definitely check that out if you did not get a chance to listen. We answered, we asked some really good questions. They gave us some really good answers. But we are finally getting around to what we told you we were going to get around to 2 weeks ago. We break down the world weapons. We're not breaking down all of them. We picked out the five that we thought were the most sought after. So Annual Skate, Legal Action 2, Contingency Plan, Shepherd's Watch, Cartesian Coordinate. Going to be going over all those, but first let's get the intro out of the way. As always, I am your host, Mercules, joined tonight by Kit Kutcha. And how are you doing this evening, Kit?
Mercules, I am very excited to finally be talking about this weapons. It's time to give the people what they want, you know. Posted about this on Twitter earlier, and that's just how I feel. Like, they've been asking, they've been patient, they've been understanding. Like, it's been just some crazy news weeks for Destiny lately, and stuff that we have to talk about has been in the TWAB. But it's time. It's the week of Thanksgiving, at least here in the States. I know not everywhere. Some people already celebrated, and that's fine. We'll be extra thankful for them. It is time, though. I think this is a great week, honestly, to be doing this, because we're largely, I think, talking about these weapons because they're weapons that people in the community listening have asked us to review. These are weapons that people are interested in, that they're looking for actively, and it's time to give our take. And I think also to say thank you to the people who are tuning in every week, listening to the show, because it wouldn't be what it is today without them. So, very excited. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yeah, really looking forward to the long weekend. Going to spend some time with family, spend some time with friends. Step away from work for just a little bit and kind of unwind. It, weirdly, like, everybody knows that they're getting a couple days off this week, or most people are getting a couple days off. In my industry, a lot of people are. And so they're like cramming everything into these, like, the front end of the week, like trying to get everything done before the long weekend. And so it's actually been a surprisingly stressful first couple of days of the week. So
agreed.
I am more ready than ever to kick back and drink a beer and watch some Star Wars, not really watch some football because the Jaguars suck as they usually do, but even worse now than usual. They're actually horrible. But definitely I've been watching a lot of Mandalorian, prepping for, we're doing a Beneath Twin Suns episode this Sunday. So I just rewatched the entire first season of Mandalorian in one day. I was incredibly hungover after seeing The Eternals and sat on the couch in one day and watched the entire first season and most of the second season. So
that's awesome.
I'm really excited to talk about that. Remember, if you guys do listen to Beneath Twin Suns, it is no longer on this feed. It is now on its own feed. You have to find it by searching for Beneath Twin Suns wherever the podcasts are. So check that out. But yeah, I'm pretty excited to talk about some Destiny. Talking to the Bungie guys earlier today really got me hyped up, really got me ready. A couple of the questions that if you guys listened to last week, you heard us talking about, I was actually able to get answered on the show. Mainly the reasons why they removed the one-hit kill abilities from Warlocks and Titans. The answer was they were a little bit too free. The shoulder charge ability was a little bit too easy, and they originally tried to make it have a longer cooldown, and they tried to make it a little bit harder to use, and it just felt like crap. And so they said that in the end, it made more sense to make it not a one-hit kill, but still feeling good, than it did to make it harder to use and have a longer cooldown for both of those abilities. So they said they think they still have some functionality. They're just not going to be quite as easy. They said that they thought that the Flux Grenade and the Waiting Throwing Knife were difficult enough to use that they were fine to maintain on their own. And they were very clear, we're not going back to do 2 year one. We have no interest in that. We were pretty spot on with our estimates of how much slower the cooldowns are going to be. They said melees were going to be about 10 to 15% and that grenades were going to be around 20%, but some of them would be faster and only a handful would be slower than that. So I felt like we were pretty spot on our estimates.
Yeah, that's, it's really nice to be right, at least about something, since unfortunately dramatically wrong about other things, but that's that's the game. That's what happens when you make predictions. Sometimes you're just wrong.
And we're cruising through the intro to this episode, so I feel like now's as good a time as any to get into the housekeeping. I feel like we have a lot of Patreon news this week. So for those of you guys who hate hearing about the Patreon, might want to tune out for just a couple of minutes. But for those of you guys who are in the Patreon or are interested in Patreon rewards, we have a lot of news coming. Yeah. I'm not sure how many of you guys saw it on Twitter or saw it in the Discord, but big stuff in play.
Yeah, so we have collaborated with a really talented artist some of you might have heard of. Irresolute is doing the art for this year's patron rewards. This is an exclusive feature. Some of this stuff might be given away at other special events down the road, but if you are interested in any of the art that we have revealed so far, the only way to guarantee that you will be able to get your hands on it is to be a patron.
I think we can say we're not going to give away this art. We might do another collaboration down the road. We were talking about this. I don't even know if Irresolute knows about this, so he might be hearing about it for the first time on the podcast. But we were talking about potentially doing something special with him for GCX if he's interested. But this particular set of art that we've got is exclusive to people who are patrons in the year 2021. And nowhere else will you be able to get the collection at all.
There we go. I don't believe Irresolute knows about that. So, Irresolute, I know you're
surprise.
Listening. Surprise. Yeah. Let's just say it never works to describe art in a podcast. So let's just say that's how happy we were with how this turned out. We're already springing another job on the artist for 6 months from now. Let's just say it went well. If you haven't seen it, check it out. It's really, really awesome. At worst, some of the promo images are going to make fantastic backgrounds for your phone. So there's that for you. Well, let's seg over into directly talking about Patreon, because we do have some thank yous to get in here. And what better week to be saying thank you to a whole pile of Guardians than this one? So let's start, as we generally do, with new patrons joining without even knowing about these rewards. But boy, I think are they going to be pretty pleased. So big thank yous to the following Guardians: Aspiring Warlock, thank you for your pledge. Shadow Strike 623, thank you so much. Dale M, we appreciate your support. Marvin 30, thank you so much. Rube Garlic, thank you for your pledge and for joining the Patreon. Wow, that is a heck of a pledge train for the week. Really coming in strong. Thank you so much to our amazing community for your continued generous support. It's really just been a crazy, crazy year. Speaking of crazy, we've got nine Guardians who are crazy supportive of this podcast. They go above and beyond. They are not just patrons. We call them sponsors for their generosity. So thank you, in no particular order, to the following sponsor Guardians: Askian Monk, Binary Wolf, Blackhammer Tech, Zen SoCal, Deacon, The Shazzle, Conquer King 420, Starscream S13, and a Solitary Bird. And that is a wrap. That's it. That's all we've got for the Patrons Corner this week. So thank you so much. Thank you to all of our ongoing patrons that we did not name in this episode. There are too many of you to name. It would be a whole episode. I would be just reading names at this point, which nobody wants to hear. But boy, it is definitely inspiring and motivating for us. So thank you so much. And with that, I will pass it over to you to talk about the other group of Guardians that we like to thank every week.
Yep, we've got a podcast review from a longtime listener and Twitter contributor. It is Pete. You may have heard me mention his name before. In true Pete fashion, he left me quite the review. Mercules has to read all these out on the podcast, 5 stars, and he's a big numbers guy. So here's the first 100 digits of pi. 3.14159, and then some other digits, and it ends with 679 with love, dash Pete. I'm sorry, Pete. I've already been talking too much tonight. I can't read out 100 digits of pi. We would have half of the listeners turn it off before I got partway through. But I do appreciate the A for effort. How about that? And you can critique me on Twitter all you want for skimping on your podcast review. I appreciate it anyways.
I love it. I love it. Pete's posts are always great. I actually follow him. I really appreciate his Twitter feed. I don't know if he knows that, but I do.
He is one of the most quick to comment positively or negatively on the podcast weekly when it comes out. We do appreciate it, though. Remember, guys, if you would like to leave us a podcast review, please do so on Apple Podcast. Wait a minute. I think someone else left me a review somewhere else again.
Oh,
except for I don't remember. I don't remember where this one was. Someone sent it to me. Oh, Twitter DMs. I'm pretty sure that's where it was. Here it is.
Sneaking it into the 11th minute.
I need to set an alarm for myself to remember these things because I always get them during the week and then I forget them when the time comes. But here we go. This was for Google Podcasts. He said, 10 out of 10 podcasts. I travel constantly for work, and there's nothing better before a long flight or drive than loading up a new episode to pass the time. The last year has been a crazy time personally, but I knew I could always count on escaping for an hour or two with Destiny Massive Breakdowns. And this was submitted by a new Eye of the Storm main. So thank you very much for that review, even though it was on Google Podcasts. But yeah, if you guys want to leave us a review, wherever it is that you listen, Apple Podcast helps us by far the most. But Spotify is great, Google Podcasts is great, Stitcher, Overcast, pretty much anywhere you listen to the show, it's really helpful. And I do want to remind you guys, if you could leave reviews for Beneath Twin Suns as well, especially on Apple Podcasts, we have to hit a threshold before those reviews, like the rating becomes visible, and that helps us a lot with showing up on the search bars and stuff like that. So if you guys could help us out and leave us a review over there, that'd be really appreciated. But I think that is pretty close to it for the housekeeping, right?
Yeah, I think that's just about it. That's just a reminder that Beneath Twin Suns, our Star Wars podcast, patron supported, and it is spun off onto its own feed. You won't be hearing those episodes on the Destiny Massive Breakdowns feed anymore. So if you appreciate some Star Wars and you want to hear us talk about it, you're going to need to search for Star Wars Beneath Twin Suns on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts and add that feed to your subscriptions. And then, like you said, Mercules, do be sure to go ahead and leave us a review. It is just a little baby podcast starting off on its own in the big wide world. And it's a big galaxy out there for a Star Wars podcast, man. There is a lot of competition, so we appreciate the support.
Yep. All right, guys. Well, for those of you who are joining us after having skipped the entire housekeeping, welcome. Welcome back. We're going to be talking about, again, we said the world weapons. So we're going to start, as we always do, with the primaries. We got Annual Skate up at the front end. Annual Skate is a solar adaptive 140 hand cannon. That means the optimal time to kill in Crucible is a 0.87 seconds. That's with 3 crits, 0 body, so a 100% crit percentage required. The body shot time to kill is quite abysmal. It is 1.73 seconds with 5 body shots. However, the accuracy adjusted time to kill, which is kind of what we use to say like what the average person is going to hit, is pretty slow. It's 1.3 seconds, but it is very easy to hit. It is 1 crit, 3 body shots, super, super easy. So even your not so great players are going to be killing in 4 shots most of the time.
Yep, it's definitely one of those weapons where landing your crits makes you absolutely competitive. Great weapon for team shooting because of the high damage output in a low period of time. Great for shooting behind cover. And that's why you tend to see a lot of higher skilled players using weapons like this type of hand cannon, which is part of the reason we're including it in this week's episode. Stat-wise, I feel like this is a pretty solid example of the 140 archetype. I think it's pretty decent across the board. What do we want to compare it to right now?
probably palindrome is, yep. is probably the most
that's most a harsh applicable. Comparison for almost any hand cannon.
Yeah, it really is quite unfair. I mean, you could compare it to Judgment, which is the one that's from Prophecy, which was also new for this season. But Judgment is a kinetic, mm-hmm. And it's not always fair to compare across slots. Some people are like, well, I base my loadout on which primary I can run. But other people are like, I'm running Chaperone, and therefore Judgment is a no-go from the start.
Right. Well, I think it's going to have to be Palindrome. This is just going to reinforce how good Palindrome is. But let's go ahead and just run through the numbers. So the range on Annual Skate is 46 at base compared to 55 at Palindrome. That's still fairly average for an adaptive hand cannon. Palindrome is a real outlier in that regard. So rough comparison for Annual Skate right out of the gate here. It's at 54 base stability, and that's compared with 62 for Palindrome. I don't even have to highlight the lines in the spreadsheet. I can just look at which one is the best, and that's how I know what I'm comparing to here. So again, pretty rough comparison, but 54 is pretty average. Honestly, higher than a lot of hand cannons, but in the 140 archetype, it is not a standout for stability. 52 handling is pretty good overall. However, Palindrome is still going to beat it with 55. Got 44 reload speed compared to 48 on Palindrome. 75 aim assist for Annual Skate. And that is compared to 79 on Palindrome. And then 88 recoil direction, which is compared to 98 on the Palindrome. Annual Skate does have 10 in the mag, pretty standard for the adaptives, and that I think about wraps it up. So overall, just looking at the stats, again, I feel like this is a pretty solid example of the 140s because it is about average across the board. It doesn't lag significantly in any area except perhaps reload speed. And I guess technically recoil direction, but 88 is still high enough that at least for my personal taste, I'm probably not going to worry too much about it. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, my whole thing has been like, is it palindrome?
Right.
Not really. And I'm not a huge hand cannon user, right? So I'm not exactly the most discerning user. And we may be able, when we go over the perks, we may be able to find some perks in there that kind of differentiate it. But yeah, for me, it's like how it used to be when Ostringer was the hand cannon to have. It just kind of put everything else to shame. And for comparison's sake, Palindrome is actually even better than Ostringer was stat-wise. Nearly across the board. Not quite in everything, but nearly across the board. So Palindrome is just really, really, really tremendously good hand cannon. And unfortunately, that means everything else kind of falls by the wayside. But, you know, if we're talking perks, we've said this before, but because of the way they change range on hand cannons, I'm really only looking for one range perk out of the barrel and the mag. It used to be that I wanted both. Now, because of the way things are set up, the difference between min range and max range on a hand cannon, damage falloff wise, just isn't high enough to where I feel like investing. I'd much rather go with a good bit of stability. So there's a lot of combinations here that you can run with.
And I just want to add, don't forget to account for your masterwork as well. If you get a range masterwork, you can probably slip by without any range perks on this gun. Really, we're looking for like more than five, basically, just to put it over 50. Get a little bit more distance out of it, but don't have to be worrying too much about it.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of actually several sites. I like Fast Draw, a good bit of handling, decent bit of stability. I like Steady Hand, again, good bit of handling, good bit of stability. That's actually probably my favorite out of all of them, but True Sight's not too bad, +3 range, +3 handling, +3 stability. I like any of those, and what it means is it frees me up to go with Accurized Rounds in the second trait slot. I'm not a really big fan of Sure Shot. It really tanks the handling and the stability quite a bit. And Crossfire doesn't hurt them as much, but as I found range to be less useful, I found stats like stability and handling to be more useful. And it just, it hurts my soul a little bit, especially as a controller player, to hurt either one of those two things. So I'm kind of shifting more towards the use the sight and potentially the masterwork for stability and just go accurized rounds in the barrel. There could be an argument to be made for something like steady rounds mixed with, steady rounds mixed with crossfire maybe, but I feel like that's, I feel like that's almost, you get like plus two range and plus 10 stability, and it's like, I'd much rather just get the plus nine. And I don't think that that's a great play on this gun. It, sometimes it works out well when you have small bore in the barrel slot. I don't think it works as well with the hand cannon sights.
I mean, you could match it with like a range masterwork and steady hands. That gives you a pretty solid combination. However, even then, you're honestly, I think, going to be better off with like steady hand, a stability masterwork, and accurized rounds. Just stat-wise, your range and stability overall, your range will be about the same. Your stability will be a bit higher. So, you know, it, like you said, there are a number of different ways to combine the perks in the first two columns along with your masterwork to end up with something pretty favorable. You know, and if you do end up with a site that doesn't favor handling, you know, say maybe Hitmark is your best option, or you get the True Sight, which has a little bit of handling, but not a whole lot. Handling masterwork is not at all a bad idea on a hand cannon. Very often you're pairing it with something that you want to swap to quickly, whether you are using the hand cannon to blend, or you just want to be able to get your shotgun out fast enough to take care of somebody who's rushing you, or who maybe you closed with a little faster than you had planned. Handling bonuses on hand cannons are always a strong choice.
Yeah. As far as traits go, there's actually a good bit of viability here for several different types of builds.
Yeah.
God, we keep saying we need to do this, but we need to do an episode where we talk about the different types of weapons, right? There's a couple of different types of PvP weapons. There's a few different types of PvE weapons. We kind of sort everything into one of these archetypes, right? There's dueling weapons for PvP. There's killstreak weapons for PvP. There's ad clear for PvE, boss damage for PvE, and like yellow bar or major damage for PvE, right? So a couple different things. This has a little bit of something for everyone.
It does.
It's got the very typical tunnel vision multi-kill clip, which is a great Iron Banner, great sixes weapon. It's got the very opening shot, which is a fantastic dueling option. And then it's got the Outlaw Dragonfly. Or Outlaw Firefly roll. Sorry, I guess it is Dragonfly. Outlaw Dragonfly, which is a great ad clear weapon. I don't know that it's going to be the weapon that you want to use for yellow bar damage, but it does have triple tap and time payload, which I think at least offers some viability there. And it is a solar weapon, right? So it's better to use against shields. Although triple tap doesn't work particularly well on shielded enemies, but. I think there's a little bit of something here for everyone. So even though the stats didn't really make it jump right out at you, it's not too terrible. It's pretty easy to get at least a decent roll in this gun.
It really is. There are just a lot of solid options in both of the trait columns. I feel like we just need to name them all at this point. So the first column is Outlaw, Surplus, Triple Tap, Slide Shot, Tunnel Vision, and then No Distractions is honestly the only one that I'm just not really interested in.
Right.
And then the second column is Opening Shot, Timed Payload, Dragonfly, Multi-Kill Clip, Wellspring, Swashbuckler. And I think there's probably somebody listening who's interested in all of those perks.
Well, Wellspring definitely got a bit of a buff by proxy with the changes that we know are coming with the 30th anniversary patch.
It did. It really, in terms of being an option in PvE, I think is suddenly much more appealing. I don't know, given what else is in that column, that I could in good conscience go with it for PvP. When you've got opening shot and multi-kill clip available, that's a tough It's a tough hill to climb.
It's going to depend on if you're doing a build that requires you to have your abilities up more often, right?
Yeah.
If you know, they said that they wanted to shift the focus of gameplay to be weapons as opposed to abilities. Well, if you still want to insist on having an ability-centric style of play, you're going to need perks like this probably to pull it off. You know, they said that they wanted to reward investment, and that's what this is going to do.
It is, and it certainly has always paired well with surplus in terms of keeping your abilities fully charged. Now, surplus, just because it's easy to forget, when you have your abilities fully charged, it is giving you 50 reload speed, 50 handling, and 25 stability. That is massive in terms of how good that gun is going to feel. Just really, really massive. Now, you're not going to get over 100. So if you've already got, you know, a bit of a handling, honestly, actually, your handling is just going to be set to 100 at that point, because you're always going to have more than 50 handling. Your reload speed will be very close to maxed out. Stability will be quite good. The gun is just going to feel great. Surplus, in my mind, is going into this new meta. I feel like it's a top tier choice to grab and hold and see how things play out and see what types of builds are appealing. It's not a perk that I have specifically chased in the past. It's one that I've held on to when it's on an otherwise good roll. But boy, it's something that has really been on my mind lately as a perk to consider. You know, I think if you pair a surplus with opening shot or almost anything in that second column, you could have a really solid weapon.
Yeah. Now, surplus did get a little bit of a nerf by proxy-ish, depending on your playstyle, right? Because you would surmise that with the increased cooldowns, your time spent with all of your abilities or multiple abilities off cooldown may be diminished. But again, that's going to be playstyle dependent, right? Like, I have never been able to put a lot of stock in surplus because of the style I played, which was my abilities are burned pretty much the second I get abilities. Like, I'm hardly ever sitting on more than one ability at a time. I'm a hunter. I dodge all the time. That's what I do. I was a shatter diving hunter. I use my grenades all the time. Shuriken suck, so I would just throw them to get rid of them so that they wouldn't accidentally proc when I was trying to punch someone 4 feet away from me. You know, that was the way it worked for me. But surplus is still, when surplus is up and when surplus is active, there's no denying it is an extreme change in the feel of the weapon. So extreme that I know that some people like Drewski can't stand it because it totally changes the way the gun plays. Or I don't know if he can stand it now, but back when it first came out, it so totally changed the feel of the gun that he thought it was like messing with his muscle memory. So,
yeah, it's really solid. We'd be remiss not to mention Tunnel Vision Multi-Kill Clip as a very strong combination for chaining kills with this gun. And I think that's probably it for just the overt combos that I think really jump out at me here. But like I said, there are a lot of good perks there. You know, I'm not going to be too upset if I get a slide shot roll.
Yeah.
A slide shot is always a good perk to have.
Yeah, so I guess that means we can move on to talking about legal action. A legal action, or as I call it, the poor man's messenger, is a kinetic high-impact pulse rifle. Kinetic high-impact pulse rifles are very, very strong right now. The messenger obviously has seen a massive resurgence. No Time to Explain is an exotic, but is also very strong. And the reason being is they have a lightning-fast optimal TTK, 0.67 seconds. It's among the fastest of any primary, and especially considering the range they have, that's very, very fast. Now, it does require a good bit of precision. You need 5 crits and 1 body to hit that. That is an 83% crit percentage. But the body shot TTK is also very, very forgiving. 1.20 seconds to the body. That's 9 body shots. So basically 3 full bursts to the body. When we talk accuracy adjusted, high impacts are sitting at an okay 1.07. That's actually a little bit on the lower side. It's obviously not as bad as the hand cannons, but it's very, very easy. 3 crits, 4 bodies. So pretty much everybody should be killing in 3 bursts with these guns. If you can kill with 2 bursts, you're going to be in a very, very good spot. Legal action in terms of stats is not, I mean, it's okay. It's not bad. The high impacts all have the same problems, which is that they pretty much uniformly have great range and pretty good recoil direction and pretty bad everything else across the board. And Legal Action is really no different. It's sitting at 66 range base, which is good. It's second only to the Messenger at 69. Stability is 53, which is okay. It's a little bit on the lower end. It's not as bad as like Premonition, which used to come from the moon, which was at 48. But it's not as good as the Messenger, which is at 59. The handling is 32. The Messenger's is 38. 32 is pretty well on the lower end of that. Reload speed is 40. And the Messenger's is 44. 40 is, again, a little bit on the lower side, but 44 is about as high as it gets. There's not huge variability there. Aim assist is bad, but that is kind of to be expected for the high impacts. They all range between, I think, 28 and 39. 39 was Redrix's broadsword from a while back. Nobody's using that anymore. 37 is the Messenger, which is the closest up there. This one's sitting at 32. The recoil direction is actually a bit of a disappointment. It's at 70. Which, as we know, you don't really want recoil directions that end in zero. You'd much prefer something like Premonition that has 77 or Redrix's broadsword, which has 75. But hilariously, the Messenger has 60. So this is the one area where it is really quite a bit better than the Messenger. And then mag size is 27. You know, the Messenger's is 30, but they're all pretty much 27 with the exception of the Messenger sitting at 30. So, you know, stat-wise, it's definitely not the worst. There are worse high impacts out there. But with the exception of recoil direction, the Messenger beats it in pretty much all areas.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, again, we're comparing it to best in class here, so it's always going to be tough. But the thing that I really take away from that is that it's not significantly worse than the Messenger stat wise. And so what it really comes down to is, what do you have a better roll on? And I think that is going to make a much bigger difference in your experience than these base stats. If you have a bunch of terrible Messenger rolls and one really good Legal Action too, I'd take the Legal Action too.
That is true.
Yeah, you know, I'll trade a few stat points. Yeah. Out.
The obvious some good perks. The obvious drawbacks are that the Legal Action cannot roll with Kill Clip. It cannot roll with Desperado.
Yep.
So it's not going to be as good of a kill chaining weapon. Although it does have Rampage, which is okay. But it's not anywhere close to on the same level.
Right. I'm not saying don't farm the Messenger. Well, absolutely do that.
But also the Messenger comes from Trials. So how much do you enjoy playing Trials?
Right. Yeah. There's only so much that any person can tolerate, regardless of skill level, in the Trials playlist right now. So, yeah.
Well,
you don't already have a good one. You've got your work cut out for you.
Yeah. As far as perks go, I mean, you do kind of have options, right? Like, usually when I get around 75 to 85, I'm pretty much good on the recoil direction. And I'm like, you know, it is what it is. Like, I don't really need any more. So you kind of have a couple options here. Like, you could do the easy thing and you could just slap a counterbalance mod on it and you'll jump straight to 85 and you're just like golden. You know, you don't need to do anything. You could put Chambered Compensator on it. It's going to put you to 80. It's not as great. Like, you're still going to have some sideways deviation, but the recoil is not going to be as bad. I would probably prefer the counterbalance mod than I would Chambered Compensator. You could also put Arrowhead Break on it and just go straight to 100. And, like, you know, people complain about 100 because they're like, oh, it still ends in a zero. And it's like, it does, but it's also like the tightest the recoil is going to get because it's at 100. You know, you could say that 95 is better, and 95 is probably a little bit better, but at 100, you're pretty much going to be golden. Like, it's not gonna ruin you with the recoil direction at 100. You just won't get any of the benefits of, you know, stability. Really, stability is what I'm looking for on this gun. You know, I am a controller player, but I've played with a lot of these things, and these things have just ridiculous range by default. You know, you're sitting easily at 45 meters. With any type of range boost at all, you're closing in on 50. Nothing is going to be outranging you except for, you know, Time Worn Spire with a high zoom with a high zoom scope at this point. Like, you're going to be sitting outside of pretty much every other. I mean, I guess a Servant Leader could, but how often do you see Servant Leaders in PvP? Not often.
Not very often. That is absolutely true. No, I'm 100% in agreement with you. I think probably Chambered Compensator and maybe a counterbalance stock is a great combination on this gun. The handling is absolute trash, and if you're expecting it to be anything else, then you are looking at the wrong rifle. That's really all there is to it. You know, even if you do like push the handling up as high as it'll go, it's still going to be like, I don't know, slightly less trash. They just have bad handling.
What's really impressive with this gun is how high you can get the stability if you really feel like specking into it. If you go stability masterwork, polygonal rifling steady rounds, you can have 61 range, which is still a 44 meter effective range when you're ADS. And you can have 85 stability, and you can have 85 recoil direction. That thing is going to be effectively a laser. And the nice thing about legal action, it has a very pleasant open sight. Really, really open sight picture. The zoom is 22, which if you've listened to us talk about zoom before, that is like right at the edge where I'm like, to me on a pulse rifle, 22 zoom is like, it's pretty good. That's pretty nice. 22 zoom, like anything above 22 zoom, I start to feel a little bit constrained on it. But I've run, oh geez. Oh goodness. What was the Suros? There was a Suros auto, the Galliard. I ran a Galliard with a higher zoom scope on it that was getting me up to like 21, 22. And I've run a couple of Suros pulse rifles that are sitting at 22 zoom. And I think they're phenomenal. I think that's like really the sweet spot where you get all the benefits of the zoom compressing the recoil. You get the zoom extending the range, but you don't necessarily get such a narrow sight picture that you can't do anything. But even if you did, the sight on this gun is fantastic. It's just basically two posts and that's it. It hardly blocks your view at all.
Yeah, it's a very easy gun to shoot. Absolutely. And honestly, I would be pretty happy with a max stability roll on this weapon. I think that would feel phenomenal. And I don't know that there's anything else in that column that I would really want. I'd be fine with flared magwell. It's just like not as good.
I'd take steady rounds
at that point.
I'd take tactical mag if I got
tactical
rampage.
Mag is fine
because it's also going to give me an extra three. It's going to give me one extra burst in the mag, which with rampage is helpful. But yeah, no, I really want a max stability roll because like the messenger that I have, which I love my messenger, I've got almost 8,000 kills on it. I wouldn't even have as much stability as this. I think my messenger that I use so much is like 70 stability and 90 recoil direction. So if you're telling me that I could get 15 more stability on that and potentially a better recoil direction sitting at 85, like I'll take that.
Yeah. Well, so thinking along those lines, right? Let's say we've got max stability or pretty dang close to it here. Looking at the trait slots, there are a few things you can do here. But I feel like this weapon really shines as a dueling weapon because it's got that lightning fast optimal time to kill, pretty fast accuracy adjusted time to kill. So I'm really a big fan of moving target as an option here. Increasing movement speed and target acquisition while aiming down sights just sounds right straight up the alley of legal action too. Like that is to my mind the first thing that you want to do. Now there are some other good perks in that slot, but I think that's what you're going to get the most bang for your buck with.
Yeah, you know, if I'm just going for feel of a gun, particularly for something like trials, I probably am going to have to go with moving target. Number one, I like to put targeting adjuster mods on my high impacts, and I can't do it because I put a counterbalance on there for this particular one.
Right.
Yep. Moving target's going to give me plus 10 aim assist, which is going to be more than the targeting adjuster mod anyway, so I'm pretty happy with that. I would also like to point out the viability of heating up, particularly on this weapon. Heating up is very, very good on this gun. The bonus to accuracy, the bonus to stability. You can basically, with a single kill, you've pretty much maxed out stability. If you already were in a max stability roll, you will literally have 100 stability statistically. You will have 100 recoil direction, or I guess, you know, whatever the max is, recoil direction, and 15% accuracy. Now, that pairs really, really wonderfully with rampage. But again, that's a sixes roll. That's an Iron Banner roll. That's a control roll. It can help you in trials. It's just less likely, whereas something like moving target is helping you every engagement.
Yeah, and that ultimately, I think, is why I favor moving target here. The other reason that I favor it overheating up or surplus in this situation, which gives you some similar benefits, or killing wind. I favor it over killing wind because it's active all the time. Mm-hmm. And you already have a whole bunch of range, which is, I think, the most important thing to look at there on killing wind. You're really not getting a lot out of your range bonus on this gun. Mm-hmm. And it's not a super mobile weapon. This is a weapon where you want to be staying away from the mobile people so that you can pick them off.
Well, people forget that the entire bonus of the high impact frame is this weapon is more accurate when stationary and aiming down sights.
Yes.
The most useless of all intrinsic frame perks for PvP.
But it is actually really noticeable.
Yeah.
If you've been using these guns like, I don't know, hip firing or something, like stop and crouch and just shoot and the gun feels amazing. But the reason I favor moving target over surplus and heating up is that those two both max out so quickly that you don't even get the full benefit from them. And neither of them gives you that aim assist buff, which like you said, we can't get targeting adjuster because we want to use a counterbalance mod here because the recoil direction is not great. And if you want to get that optimal time to kill, which is totally achievable, I feel like you really want both of those things. Like that's, you know, people are going to disagree. Reasonable minds may think otherwise. But for me, I just feel like that's the S tier option here. And those are both like A tier. Mm-hmm. Both super good. I'm not upset at all. If I get those perks, surplus actually works out really well because even if I am just checking my abilities, I'm pretty close to maxed out. Like it's given me about as much stability as I need to have perfect stability. So,
yeah. And we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about a couple of perks that are going to be changed by the December 30th update. Adrenaline Junkie obviously is now Grenade Buckler, which is just a swashbuckler, but with grenades basically. Definitely an improved perk. Now, the high-impact pulse rifles, they benefit a bit from Rampage and Swashbuckler-style perks, but it really just makes their optimal time to kill a little bit easier to hit, which is good. It's not something like Kill Clip or Desperado, which makes the optimal time to kill significantly faster. So just be aware of that. They're not game-changing amounts of damage. They just, you know, obviously a 5-stack is game-changing amounts of damage. So, you know, if you're going to be sticking people with flux grenades and one-shotting them, then this might actually be something that you consider. But for other stuff, you know, not quite so much. But Thresh is probably now being looked at a lot more strongly than it was before, considering what happens now is they've shifted the way you gain super to being more based upon dealing damage. And now Thresh is going to kind of stack on top of that when you land a kill. So if you are a Slayer, if you're getting a bunch of kills, especially in sixes or in PvE, Thresh might actually be something you want to consider using. Whereas before it was kind of like, nah, you know, if I have it, I have it. But it doesn't make a big enough difference in PvP for me to actually care.
Yeah, I would say Thresh and Wellspring are now both perks that I would consider much more strongly in the new economy. Thresh certainly is a very strong option because, you know, we're expecting super recharge times that are going to be ridiculously high compared to what they were before, you know, the effects of damage and kills come into play. So if Thresh can add a little acceleration to that, that can give you an edge. That might be the difference between, you know, whether or not you get an extra super in a match, which can really be a game changer. So, yeah, I think Thresh is a very strong choice here for any game mode. Mm-hmm. I think it's probably a super strong choice in Trials right now if you're running a pulse rifle like this.
All right. Well, that probably leads us right into Contingency Plan. The last of the primary weapons we're going to talk about. It is a rapid-fire scout rifle. Deals arc damage. Being that it is a rapid fire scout rifle, it's already an archetype that I love. You know, I have been preaching symmetry and I talked about Servant Leader most recently when it was out. The optimal TTK is 0.93 seconds, which doesn't sound like much until you realize that to hit it, all you need is 3 crits and 2 bodies. Super, super easy to hit the optimal TTK here. Bioshot TTK is not great at 7 shots to kill, 1.40 seconds. But again, you look over at the accuracy adjusted, and we always count accuracy adjusted as, we use it as 70% as the default, right? Well, the optimal is the accuracy adjusted. 0.93 seconds with 3 crits and 2 bodies. That's only a 60% crit ratio. So it is a fantastic gun. Super, super forgiving. Doesn't have really crazy, crazy high zoom. The zoom's 2.0, which isn't horrible. So you've got easy range. Like, the range is insane. Even with this gun, like, the range is nearly 70 meters. You're never going to be getting outrange by pretty much anything in the current sandbox. You can easily use it on all maps. And with a 2.0 zoom, you can even use it on some of the smaller maps. I personally don't find much of an issue using rapid fire scouts on some of the smaller maps like you would with maybe a few of the slower rate of fire archetypes.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like the thing that you want to do going into your magazine, your barrel, and your masterwork is look for a bunch of stability. I think that is, at least for me, playing these guns, that is always the thing that I am wanting more of. Because keeping that gun on target at range can become an issue. Mm-hmm. Especially at the rate that they pump out rounds.
If we are talking about stats, pretty much all of the rapid fire scouts have terrible, terrible range. They're all really between like 28 and 32, with the exception of Trustee from the Deepstone Crypt Raid, which for some reason has 42 base. This one is no exception, sitting at 32. The stability is okay. It's not bad. It's at 50. Trustees is 49. Black Scorpion, which the gunsmith used to sell, is 54. They're all between 48 and 54, so 50 is kind of, a little bit lower of middle. The handling is not great at 28. I actually don't really have a ton of problems with the handling on this. I don't know if it's because it's scout rifles or what it is. Even with the handling having that low stat, I have not really noticed the handling being like abysmally slow. At least never so much that I've felt like specking into it with this gun. It's also not a great blinting tool because of how little damage it does per shot. So kind of not the best for that.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think on both those points, I feel like the base like animation speed for the handling animations on scouts is just, it's just a bit faster, than compared to, say, hand cannons.
Right. The reload speed is 33, which again is a little bit lower than average. It's not as bad as I think Randy's Throwing Knife for some reason had like a really low base reload speed of 17 or something. 33 is pretty typical for rapid fires. They're all between like 35 or 33 and 38, with the exception of Randy's. Aim assist is 66, which is okay. It's pretty good. Trusty has 67. I think Black Scorpion has like a way lower, like 56 or something. It's not as good as the lightweights. A lot of the lightweights are 70 plus. And then magazine size, it's just sitting at 17, which is very typical for a rapid fire. You've got some of them that, like Randy's, I think went up to 20. Maybe Black Scorpion was at 18, but 17 is very typical for a rapid fire. So, statistically, nothing that really jumps out at you as being dominant, nothing that really jumps out at you as being really bad. I think where a contingency plan really starts to stack up against the competition is it just has some absolutely fantastic perk combinations. We'll talk about those traits in a minute. I'm still, I know that the range is a little bit low by default, but because of that zoom, I'm just all in on stability on these things too. I don't know if it's always my controller bias. I feel like for a long time I was alone in the crowd being like, hey guys, I really like stability on stuff. And I think maybe people are just now starting to come around, but I just can't take enough stability on these rapid fire scouts, especially with how fast the rate of fire is.
Yeah. I don't think that I would be above leaning into steady rounds on this gun. I might want like small bore to pair with it just to avoid actually hurting my range.
I wouldn't even care, man. Even with steady rounds and no range bonus, you're still at 65 plus meters of ADS range.
It is so long. It is a long way.
2.0 zoom, man.
Yeah, 2.0 zoom goes, man. It makes a difference. And that's, I guess, just another reminder to be watching the zoom stats on weapons going forward, because they are not all going to be the same. There is not going to be a standard for a given archetype of weapon. And there are going to be some that just that stand out. And contingency plan is doing that.
Yeah. I know I'm usually a huge recoil direction proponent. I just don't care a ton on the rapid fires. Like, I know the base recoil direction sits at 53, and I know that because they're full auto, like, I should care more like I do with pulse rifles or like I do with auto rifles. I just haven't found myself. I mean, I'm not going to say no if I get chambered compensator, but I haven't really noticed bad recoil direction affecting me a ton on these. Maybe it's because I max stability on everything.
I think what it really is, actually, is that a lot of, like, these weapons in particular have much higher aim assist than most of the weapons that we're dealing with bad recoil direction on, except for like some auto rifles, but those auto rifles are generally firing faster even than this gun. I think if this gun fired like significantly faster, then the recoil direction would become an issue.
Right.
But I think it's just like that perfect sweet spot of aim assist and just shooting just fast enough, but not too fast, where it feels fine. I don't even look at the recoil direction on them.
Yeah.
So, you're not alone.
So chambered compensator, steady rounds. For me, like the biggest draw to this gun, at least the one that I want, is I want the tunnel vision kill clip roll.
Oh, yeah.
That's, I think, Cool Guy maybe popularized that one a little bit. But this thing absolutely just freaking slays with kill clip.
It's ridiculous. Yeah, if you want to go just on a tear on any given sixes map.
Well, it drops the TTK down to 0.7 seconds, which is lightning fast, and you only need 2 crits and 2 bodies to get it. So it's very, very easy to use. I absolutely love that style of roll. Firmly planted is also, interestingly, a pretty fun perk on this gun. I mean, it's so counterintuitive to like crouch and barely move during an engagement, but it makes this gun, just because of the high aim assist that it already has, and hopefully you've got high stability, it basically maxes out the stability, and you just like can't miss. Like, you could be shooting all around their head, and it's just like headshot, 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 headshot. So it's actually a very fun perk to use. I don't know that it's a wildly competitive perk, but it makes the gun feel about as good as any scout rifle I've ever felt.
Yeah, I mean, firmly planted is one of those perks that they just really want to happen. And so they have given it so many buffs that it's kind of ridiculously overpowered. But you have to crouch to do it, which is just like painful, I think, for most Destiny players to stop and crouch and then shoot. And I'm one of them. So even though it is really, really strong, I just can't do it.
Uh-huh.
I can't do it. I can do it on a high impact pulse rifle sometimes. But even then, I know that I'm not getting my money's worth.
Well, it's a lot slower firing on the higher impact pulse rifles. I admit it's easier to do on those.
I like, again, I really want to strongly consider surplus as an option here. I think throwing on some extra stability is not a bad thing, and while the handling and the reload speed don't necessarily feel bad, they could be better. And so I think in terms of just kind of making the gun feel that little bit better, if you don't get tunnel vision, I'd be okay with surplus. And surplus works great with kill clip, because of the reload bonus. And then I think it also pairs nicely with Thresh, just in terms of being an ability energy focused build that's always going to be top of mind for you, and Thresh is going to be very rewarding.
Yeah. The other perks in the slot, Outlaw, not a bad perk, just not what I want to prioritize here for this build. No distractions, not a great perk in particular, not particularly great for this. I said in particular, not particularly, but... not particularly great for this weapon. Subsistence, much better in PvE than it is in PvP. There is a good PvE role here of Subsistence Frenzy, or potentially Subsistence One for All. And we would be remiss if we didn't say that, you know, Thresh is in the last slot too, in case that's something you're interested in. But to me, the last slot is really all about kill clip. Elemental Capacitor exists. It's just like, that's not why I'm using this gun. I'm using this gun for kill clip, tunnel vision, or maybe potentially one of the PvE roles. Like I said, Subsistence Frenzy or Subsistence One for All.
You know, I will say though, that if you are planning to run this gun, and you're going to be doing a lot of, say, Void subclasses in the new year, which I suspect many of us will be, I mean, this would be the time to go with Elemental Capacitor. It does give you a very, very easy route to plus 18 stability, which means that you have room for some range bonuses if you just need a little more range, or, you know, whatever other stat you want to buff up, handling, what have you. So it's not a bad perk. I think it's just it's in a slot where there are other perks that we tend to prioritize over that, because we can get stability elsewhere.
Yep, I think that wraps up the primary weapons for us. Going to move on to Shepherd's Watch now, which is a kinetic adaptive sniper rifle. Biggest competition probably right now is, in the kinetic slot at least, is going to be Eye of Soul, which is the trial sniper. Obviously, there is a lot of competition for snipers right now. I think Uzume is probably one of the most popular ones. But you've also got Adored. I think people are still, I don't know if anyone's using Far Future anymore, the one that you got from Battlegrounds. I don't know if people are touching that too much, but people are still using Occluded Finality, which is the aggressive from Iron Banner. I mean, I've seen a couple of successions recently, which is the Deepstone Crypt sniper. I mean, snipers are making a little bit of a comeback. I like to think that it's because I finally convinced people to use the Monarch, and the best counter to the Monarch is a sniper. It's gotten to the point where when I run trials now, if the other team is anywhere close to worth their salt, within one round, one or more people on the other team will switch to sniper. Like, it's gotten to the point that people are understanding, like, okay, that's how you beat a Le Monarch player. And it's actually very frustrating. I wish I hadn't told so many people.
Yeah. No, it's definitely a hard counter to Le Monarch. It's not fun to play against a decent sniper with Le Monarch, much less a good sniper.
No, good sniper, it's actually pretty much impossible to play against them. Anyways, Shepherd's Watch is a pretty good sniper rifle. There's 0.67 seconds, 2/3 of a second in between shots. It does 386 to the head, so it will not kill a 50% damage resistance super unless you damage buff it, and it does 131 to the body. As far as range, it's got 52 range by default, which isn't particularly great for an adaptive, but at the same time, there are adaptives that are much, much worse than it. You've got Eye of Soul sitting at 55. I think that's probably going to be the one I'm going to compare it to the most, because it's in the same slot. Stability is 48, Eye of Soul is 54. Handling is 44, Eye of Soul is 51. Reload speed is 43, Eye of Soul is 46. You can see the trend here that Eye of Soul is kind of better across the board than it. But inventory is 32, not that that matters for PvP. The Eye of Soul is 45. Aim assist is 60, Eye of Soul is 68. Mag size is 4 for both of them. Now, the one spot where it is a little bit better is that the zoom is 5.0 compared to the 4.5 for Eye of Soul. And remember that anything under 5.0 does get a little bit of an aim assist penalty. So what previously would have been a detriment, having 50 zoom compared to 45, is now actually a little bit of a positive, as people discovered with the 58 zoom occluded finality that seemingly is a magnet and cannot miss headshots.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think in terms of your basic barrel, magazine, masterwork, the general sense I have is that handling and reload speed tend to be the most useful, depending on whether you're playing in PvP or PvE. Mm-hmm. And they're pretty easy to prioritize. You know, fluted barrel is always just super, super strong to have on this gun. Arrowhead Break is also not too bad, just solely for that +9 handling buff. What you definitely don't want to do, I think, is tank either of those perks. And so that's the thing to watch out for in the barrels, even if you don't get a good one. Maybe it's not a god roll, but as long as you're not tanking handling, you know, you're at least not off to a bad start.
Yeah, this gun is actually a very, very good PvP sniper. It has one really particularly interesting role that I like a lot. But it also has the capability of just feeling tremendously good. If you get a handling masterwork, fluted barrel, accurized rounds, the gun is going to feel... Yeah, everybody's like, oh, it doesn't have snapshot, doesn't have snapshot. Yeah, well, you know, it does, but I'm going to go with opening shot because the gun's going to feel great on its own with fluted barrel and a handling masterwork. And because what I'm trying to do is rock under pressure and opening shot, and when I only have two rounds in the mag, it's going to be a magnet. It's going to be a magnet. Like, it's going to be a headshot machine. It's going to feel like occluded finality, but a lot snappier. And I know I'm kind of jumping ahead by saying that. Obviously, if your PVE, reload speed, alloy mag, you know, appended mag, one of those two things, the barrel perk literally could not matter less in PVE. I guess just handling for fun, like fluted barrel for fun. But yeah, what really gets me excited about this, and I don't snipe a ton in PvP anymore. I used to be a sniper main in D1. I've kind of strayed away from that and shifted between fusions and double primary in D2. But yeah, under pressure opening shot, if there's ever been anything worth giving up snapshot for, it's that combination right there.
Yeah, I would agree with you. That's definitely an interesting combination on this gun, and you've got a nice backup perk as well. You could also do moving target opening shot and be in just really phenomenal shape. So I think in terms of PvP, this gun has relatively decent odds of coming out looking pretty solid. You do have snapshot in that second trait column as well for the people who live and die by it, and I think that's a great option for those people. You've also got a pretty okay PvE role here. If you get appended mag and you can throw a backup mag mod on there, it's got firing line in the final column, which is a really solid damage perk. Anytime you're doing DPS, you're basically standing next to your buddies. And so firing line is just sort of like, hey, you're doing a DPS phase, here's some free damage. Doesn't matter what you're shooting, whether it's a boss, not a boss, who cares what it's categorized as, you're with friends. So it's super free in that regard. And
you get distractions, which no distractions is actually pretty helpful in PvE.
It is very helpful in damage phases. So yeah, no distractions then is a great combination there. I don't hate lead from gold. Getting extra special ammo at times in certain game modes is actually really valuable. And so I think for somebody who's looking for a very specific, like, purpose-built weapon, that might be what they want. I really wish that tunnel vision made more sense to me on this gun, but it just does not. Because the place that you would want it, you probably are not going to be reloading after a kill. And so it just doesn't quite add up.
Yeah, unfortunately so. I feel like that was a pretty easy one to break down. I don't feel like we spent a ton of time on it. I mean, I guess snipers, it makes it easy when there's only really two things you care about, and it's handling and range for PvP and reload speed reload speed and mag size for PvE.
I feel like I should mention it has Demolitionist in the final column as well, since abilities, energy recharge is changing. And if you are racking up the sniper kills, then that's a good perk. But probably not in PvE.
Well, I guess that brings us on to Cartesian Coordinate, which is really a fun one. It's a rapid-fire fusion rifle.
Super fun.
The rapid fire fusions have really come into their own for, I feel like the first time ever in Destiny, at least in Destiny 2's history. The changes made this last season, which unfortunately had the sad effect of pretty much shitting on my high impact fusions, with the exception of my one very specific Iota Draconis role, which I've been able to do okay with. The Rapid Fires have just, in the right hands, become absolute monsters. I don't know if the learning curve is still just a little bit too steep for people, and so they haven't picked them up. But there are certain players out there that I feel like they are actually unbeatable with a Rapid Fire fusion. Like, I don't know what you can do to kill them, because they can kill you from too far away to use a shotgun. They never go out into the open, so you can't kill them with snipers because they never take sniper lanes. I don't necessarily know how to beat a really good Rapid Fire fusion rifle user. Zealot's Reward from the Garden of Salvation raid is obviously extremely potent. Null Composure is okay. But the one that I'm seeing get the most use is Cartesian Coordinate.
Yeah, there's a lot of Cartesian coordinates out there, and they do have scopes, which is really nice. Get a nice +2 zoom bonus, which makes a big difference. Really, really makes a big difference.
Yeah. Well, let's talk stats. So they now shoot 9 bolts to kill, but they charge in 0.47 seconds. They need 7 out of their 9 bolts to hit. So the optimal TTK is actually around 0.7 seconds, because you have to add a frame for every bolt that's required. So you add 7 frames on top of the 0.47 second charge time. They are well in a way doing more damage than they need with 7 bolts. They're very close to killing with 6 bolts. And what that means is that's a good thing. You can actually stack accelerated coils and, you know, charge rate masterworks and stuff. Drop the charge rate down even further, and you don't have to worry about increasing the bolts to kill up to 8 for quite some time. What that actually also means is that they have much longer effective range than you would think they do. They're easily capable of killing at 15 plus meters, as long as you control the bolt spread and control the recoil manually. So, you know, range-wise, statistically, not great at 29. You know, Null Composure's got 45. Zealot's Reward has 30. But again, because they're doing so much more damage than they need, even once damage falloff starts, they're still very capable of killing. And because there's 2 additional bolts for you to hit, if you are good at controlling the recoil and you can get all 9 on target, you'll just melt people, even at way farther ranges than you'd think you'd be able to. Stability is 33. It's not great. I have personally found that these fusion rifles do need a good bit of stability, you know, as much stability as you can give them. Handling is 55, which is good. They, in my experience, they have pretty fast handling. Now, Null Composure is obviously 74 with the perks that it has. Zealot's Reward is 60. Cartesian Coordinate does not have the best stats out of the Rapid Fires, but they're all pretty close to each other. It's good enough. The reload speed is 51. Zealot's Reward and Null Composure are both 53. The inventory is 49. They're all between 49 and 55. The aim assist on Cartesian Coordinate is a huge outlier for the Rapid Fire fusion rifles. Sitting at 60, whereas nothing else is over 38. I'm not sure if that's a holdover from a way Rapid Fire fusion rifles used to be. Like, they used to be a little bit different than they are now. But that's a massive, massive outlier. The recoil direction is 52, which is quite bad. The mag size is 7, which is pretty high. That recoil direction makes a difference. Sorry, not that recoil direction. That aim assist definitely makes a difference on Cartesian Coordinate. You can feel the bolts almost bend a little bit towards the target.
Yeah, it's quite a powerful effect, to be honest. This is definitely one of my favorite rapid fires, and there are a lot of good rapid fires out there to like. So I'm curious to know what kind of builds you're running. I guess I can jump in and go first, or if you have something in mind.
I pretty much always try to get red dot micro, which is +2 zoom. Now, zoom has a lot less of an effect on fusions than it used to. That was a nerf that came with Arentals. But it also gives me +8 range, and I'm not going to say no to that, because none of the sights do anything for stability, right? So I might as well take some zoom and some range, and it gives you +6 handling too. So it's like a no-brainer to me. So red dot micro.
Either of the red dots, I would say that was fine.
Yeah, yeah. The other one, red dot MOA or MOA, is +2 zoom, +5 range. Red dot micro is +2 zoom, +8 range, right? Like the difference between the two is pretty minuscule, but I prefer micro. I also like the sight picture on micro more. So for batteries, there's really only two options for me. I either want accelerated coils to get the charge rate down even further, or I want particle repeater for the stability. I don't actually much care which of the two. I'm starting to lean towards particle repeater because the charge time is already so fast on its own that the extra frame isn't making a huge difference for me, but I'm not playing them in super high stakes situations. If you were an actual trials warlord, I think you might want to go with accelerated coils. Again, because very, very talented fusion players can control the recoil on their own. They don't necessarily need the stability, right? I've seen videos of people who are so good at controlling the recoil that they can basically manually place the shots in the bolt spread on their own. Like they're actually tracking during the bolt spread. It's one of the craziest things I've ever seen. I'm not that good, so I still like the stability. As far as traits go, there's really only one that I want a ton, and it's under pressure in trait slot one. I would settle for slideways, but I think under pressure is a way, way better perk than slideways is. And it's much easier to activate in that it activates passively and you don't have to slide and it doesn't expire in 2 or 3 seconds or whatever it is that slideways expires in.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I really want to like hip fire grip, but honestly, the gun is just too hard to control.
Yeah.
Hip firing. I have a hip fire roll and I've tried to hip fire it and it just, I end up shooting this guy.
And the benefit of under pressure is just way more than the benefit of hip fire.
Oh yeah.
Because in the last slot, there's a couple of different options. You could go with high impact reserves, which totally neutralizes the damage drop off that you get from accelerated coils. I know a lot of people are doing that, running that combination. You could also go with something like swashbuckler where you can up the damage. I haven't found that. I have a role with swashbuckler. I actually end up using it more in PvE than I do in PvP. I'm kind of a big fan of snapshot sights. What's a really powerful way to use fusions is obviously you want to be charging up while you're hip firing, and then you want to go ADS right before you fire off that volley. You want to go ADS because the increase in zoom will help to constrain the bolts for you. Obviously, it's going to push out your damage fall off. Like you want to go ADS before you shoot, but it's a lot easier to track a target when you're hip firing. And I think snapshot sights, because the charge rate is so fast, I think snapshot sights is actually really, really potent on this gun. More so, I would probably never recommend snapshot sights on like any other fusion rifle. But on Cartesian Coordinate, I actually feel like it's pretty helpful on it, which is a weird departure for me. But you know, if you get high impact reserves, you're never going to complain about it. You're never going to feel bad about having an under pressure, high impact reserves Cartesian Coordinate role.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that. And that I think is generally the direction that I would prefer to go. I don't have a great role on this one yet. Unfortunately, the only usable role I have is Liquid Coil's backup plan, which actually does work.
Yeah.
But I like this one because the aim assist is so high and it's noticeable. It's really noticeable how it tracks at the edge of range. But I have a Prolium, an old Sunset Prolium that I take into sixes that has 20. It is 2.0 zoom. And it can hit at more range, but I have to control it more. I can feel the difference. And so until I get a good Cartesian, that's my backup. But
and yeah, there's a couple options for mods as well. You can run counterbalance stock, which takes the recoil direction from 52 to 67. It's not bad. There are a number of players out there who are good enough to where they don't need it, in which case Icarus grip is a very, very strong option. Fusions, airborne fusions with Icarus are actually a really underrated playstyle, especially these, which charge so quickly while you're in the air. If you can be accurate with them, it's really, really lethal and really scary to play against. Now, it's harder to be accurate with them because you have to hit 7 out of your 9 bolts. And that's asking a lot, but Icarus can help you well on your way. Also, targeting adjuster, if you're just like, nah, I don't want to be airborne, I have no interest in that, targeting adjuster is a great option as well, and just stack into the already very high aim assist. So you've really got three options there. As always, I would try it first without counterbalance. And if you're struggling to control the recoil, throw the counterbalance on there. Don't start with it because you may not need it, and you may just be wasting your mod slot.
Yeah. Yeah, always good to keep in mind. Well, I think just to round it up, what I'm looking for on this gun is a charge time masterwork, particle repeater, under pressure, high impact reserves. I don't know if that's the god roll, but that's the one that I want.
Or stability masterwork, too.
Wouldn't be too upset about that. If that was the case, I'd want accelerated coils. I really want to push that charge time down just a little bit further. Lean into the playstyle of the gun.
Go charge time and accelerated coils, and then just go high impact reserves. And basically also lose none of the damage. Yeah, lose none of the damage and get all the charge time. At that point in time, it actually becomes what's that thing from? Oh, I don't know why I'm saying this. Nobody else. I went to a college called Ember Riddle, and there was someone made in the early days of YouTube, someone made a meme video called Riddle Thirst, and it was like an energy drink commercial, and there was a thing where it was like uncomfortably fast. And the charge time becomes uncomfortably fast when you stack a charge rate masterwork and accelerated coils onto it. It becomes uncomfortably fast, like so fast that it like surprises me. I'm like, oh, I didn't expect it to fire. So, I actually don't like that much charge. I like a little bit of time to think while I'm charging my fusion rifle. I'm like, okay, what do I want to do next? And then I kill someone.
That's what happens when I try to use the version I have with backup plan. Yeah. It's like I draw it and I pull the trigger and it shoots and I'm just like, oh, I wasn't ready yet.
Yeah, like I was expecting it to take longer. Yeah, I feel like there's a bunch of inappropriate jokes.
It's a bit
somewhere.
Of a premature shot.
Yeah. Well, we could probably leave it at that. All right, guys, that is it for this episode. Although I guess we probably should have talked about a PvE role. Do you have a PvE role for this?
No.
Let's see. Grave Robber and Swashbuckler? Is that probably melee final blows, reload this weapon's magazine from reserves? Yeah, there we go. Grave Robber and Swashbuckler.
That's the one.
Or Feeding Frenzy and Thresh. How about those?
Also, I think acceptable.
All right, guys.
It has Vorpal Weapon. I guess that's there for you.
That's also functional. Thank you so much for joining us. It is now very late at night. It is after 1 a.m. my time, and I still have to edit this episode to get it up Friday morning. So we're going to sign off. We will see you Monday morning for an episode of Beneath Twin Suns. We're going to be doing Mandalorian Season 1 in preparation for the Book of Boba Fett, which should be coming out pretty soon here.
And very excited.
Remember, that is on its own new podcast feed. You will not be getting it on the Massive Breakdowns feed anymore. So please go follow that on Apple Podcast or Spotify or wherever you listen to the show, and leave us a review if you can on Apple Podcast.
Awesome. Well, thanks, everybody, and enjoy the holiday week. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, guys. Bye.